All right, our agenda is there. Today on the agenda, we have Lynn's language map requirement for Drupal, issue 149, which is a pre-processing step option for the API, issue 146, supporting array position to property binding, and that we might be able to address that issue by resolving something with issue 149. Issue 147 is asynchronous methods for the API, and then issue 80 is removal of the initial context from the API spec. Anything else that we should discuss today? Anything to add to the agenda?
I don't know if you saw that already. Ivan sent an email earlier today, and he kind of proposed to feature freeze JSON-LD.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I just posted the link in IRC.
I'm a bit wary about. Okay, so we should let's go ahead and take that up. Let's take that up very quickly. So I'm a bit wary of doing a feature freeze on JSON-LD. Yeah, so I think when we get the last call, that's when we have the feature freeze, right? That's typically when you say you're done with it. I'm wary about doing a feature freeze when there are folks like Lynn out there that are trying to adopt JSON-LD, and we really need to, you know, figure out a way to make the syntax and the API work for, you know, things like the Drupal community and Wikidata. Any other comments on that?
Well, I mean, at some point we have to do it, but yeah, I agree with you, especially the container stuff. I think we should look at that.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas, any?
No, I agree that we should discuss this thoroughly and weigh the benefits against the complexity.
You're right.
Fully. Of course, I mean, all of us probably want things to be simpler, but it's hard to do really simple data if you're trying to adapt to real-world data, because real-world data, for better or worse, rarely carries the simplicity of, say, Lisp or anything like that. It's rarely that clean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to make usage easy, you often have to compromise simplicity. It's not always a good thing, but it's the way of behavior of people usually. So it depends on what we're trying to cater for.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so I guess we need to push back a bit on Yvonne and tell him that, you know, we don't necessarily want to do a feature freeze right now, because we're still kind of actively discussing some of these last remaining things that would help JSON-LD actually get real-world use. I mean, I think, you know, at the same time, I think we have this unspoken agreement that we're really trying to keep it simple, and we're pushing back on features such as the you know, the array property binding to array items spec. Like, we're talking about a pre-processing step to address that use case instead of adding something that's more declarative into the language. So I think we're kind of in a feature freeze in that we're really pushing back on new features, unless there's no way for that use case to be supported, or no way for a certain use case to be supported, at which point we're trying to, you know, hit as many birds with one stone as possible. Okay. Anything else on the feature freeze discussion before we move on?
This point really has to do with the use of container, but it relates to the simplicity case. I think that we really have to keep in mind when we go forward discussing the features of container, like feature, like the language or ID features, that we realize that the shape of the data will be distorted from an attribute value and entity attribute value point of view. We pick out a piece of the attribute, an attribute value, and stuff it into a key. And unless we also specify that the actual entity should also contain the same value, like ID, if you use container ID, should the object also contain the ID? Yes, no, maybe. If no, which is the most lean version to go with, then you have to keep in mind that you can't pass that object to something expecting that thing, that function, for instance, to pick out the ID from the object, because the ID is no longer in the object.
Right.
It's in the key. And that goes for the others as well. You should keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real trade-off with
right.
that feature.
Right. Yeah, agreed. Okay, anything else on the feature freeze for JSON-LD before we move on? All right, next topic is, I chatted with Lynn about this earlier in the call, since we're going to be discussing some RDF working group topics, it's important for Lynn to make it clear that any of the ideas that she's discussing today, that she does not own a patent or any other intellectual property on the idea, that anything that she says today could potentially be integrated into the W3C spec, and that she is granting a license for the use of any ideas that we discussed today that come from her to be placed into the W3C spec and released under the W3C license. Lynn, do you agree that you do not have any intellectual property concerns that you're going to discuss today? Or if you do discuss them, you'll make it very clear that there's a patent or something of that nature protecting the idea. And do you also agree that anything that you discuss today will be licensed by you for use in the W3C spec? Are you okay with all of those things?
Yeah, I agree to that.
Okay, great, thanks. All right, so let's get into the Drupal use case. So this is...
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
We're going to move into the Drupal language map requirement discussion. So this is the email that, or actually the discussion that is happening on the Drupal groups page. And Lynn, if you don't mind, could you give us a quick overview of what you're trying to accomplish with JSON-LD, specifically with the language requirements that you have? And I think
right.
what we're going to do is kind of take that and try and figure out a way of addressing the issue in JSON-LD today. So go ahead, Lynn.
So basically, we want to have the option of when you go to an entity ID, you see all of the field values for that entity and their language. Now, the problem here is that we don't just have language on literal values. You can also have different, entity reference values based on language.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it poses a problem in JSON-LD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had suggested for the same thing that Marcus was suggesting, that these are really different entities. but we are getting rid of the concept in Drupal of having translation node IDs, you know, having a separate entity for translation. And so there's a lot of hesitancy to going back to representing these as different entities. Also, as far as my understanding is, you know, we don't actually have that information available when we load the entity. You actually have to run it through some processing to get each language version, because, you know, some fields might use, you know, say if you don't have a language version, use the English language version or something like that. Mm-hmm. You have to run it through processing to figure out the full set of data for a language is. So there's a strong preference within the community to actually handle translation at the field level rather than at the entity level.
Hmm. Okay. So what's the ideal shape of the data? Is the goal here to try and make it so that it's very easy for developers to use, like, JavaScript path notation to access the value? And if so, what's the ideal thing a developer would type out to get access to the kind of the field translation information? Like, would they do, like, place.en.value, or would they do, like, place.en.value? Label.id. What's the ideal way that people would access this data in things like JavaScript?
So it would be .en, or actually it would be their field name, I believe .en, and then you'd have an array of values.
Okay. So
yeah.
Let's see. So field
data structure,
and then each item in that array is going to be a separate. So there, it's going to have like an ID. I'm just typing out an example in here just to make sure. So it's going to have an ID, and then maybe like a value? Is that,
it would have the, and then potentially have additional key values, because, you know, for some fields you just have a value in Drupal, the way it's handled internally in Drupal. For some you just have a value, some have, you know, formatted value versus raw value. So that's a variable.
Okay. So let's see here. I'm still typing. Formatted value. So basically, that's kind of the structure that you're talking about in IRC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, I guess the second ID is wrong. It would be something like blah. So like that. So that to access, let's see. So that field name dot en zero dot value. So that's. And then each item in that array, I guess, is what are those called?
The items in the arrays, those are field values.
Okay.
In Drupal. So you can,
okay.
You know, like you can have multiple fields, and each one of those is considered
right.
A field value.
Okay. Okay, so the difficulty, I guess, with this is that the language map proposal we were looking at would only allow you to do field name.en. We weren't expecting there to be, I'm wondering if, yeah, this kind of flips the model on its head. Marcus, Nicholas, any thoughts on this?
I think that this relates to the less agreed upon idea of having container any property, and in this case, Dublin Core language, for instance, so that you would be able to have as keys for the container some term or attribute value of the objects within the container. In this case, you would have a structured language property.
Would that actually address this case? Because I thought that that means that it's just the property. I mean, you would have a property that's like DC language and then EN, but...
You wouldn't have a language literal in value to that.
Right.
You would have to type out the label. Instead of value, you would probably have label or pref label, perhaps.
Right.
And then as the value of that, an object with language and value
right.
in turn.
That would be fine.
Okay.
If you had to put the attribute, name in there instead of value.
Yeah.
So that's fine for requirements.
All right. Sorry,
go ahead, Nicholas.
Yeah, that's good from the point of view of me understanding this, at least, because that's what I hoped was your take on it when I read the Drupal node, the features of JSON-LD article. So that's good. I suppose, though, that for raw values, you would like to use the container language feature as well, where the actual language literal, say you have three titles in German, English, and Spanish, which are actual literals in different languages. With the container language feature, you'd be able to use the .e and .es access as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we would hope to have access be the same, whether or not you're using literals or resources, except for the attribute value that you use to access it at the end. Otherwise, we want that structure to be the same across all of the different field values. So even if it's a literal and you could access it with the short version, we would probably try and recommend a longer version internally within our coding practices.
So I guess does that mean that you would suggest that people use kind of bnodes to represent the information? Not that they would have to use any bnode, anything, but you'd use the curly brace syntax for every item in the array? So let me give you two options. So the two options are, options. So that versus... So that versus that, and you're saying that you would tell the Drupal developers to always use the first pattern, not the second pattern for like...
I think because most fields do allow you to have multiple values.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually pretty common. Like you might have, in the case of time, you might have the regular formatted version and the ISO version.
Mm-hmm.
And... So we would actually have attributes on that blank node. I hadn't thought about it before, but we probably would encourage people to use blank nodes for literal values.
Okay. And that's, the IDs are only generated, would only be generated if someone tries to convert it to RDF. So the Drupal developers don't need to know anything about bnodes to use the syntax. I just wanted to make sure that we were talking about the same thing. So you're saying that first pattern is what you would suggest that all Drupal developers use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, one thing I had already thought is that we would probably, if we were going to be translating to a different serialization of RDF, we would probably want to do a framing anyways to actually, transform it into either named graphs or whatever we decided for other RDF serializations. If we want a tangible language version handling in other RDF serializations, we probably want to frame it. So we could, change the blank node into a different thing using framing.
I don't framing. You mean when you're pulling data in from RDF? Is that what you mean?
I was thinking that we could actually use framing to transform one JSON LD variant to another if we wanted to have a version that was more compliant with other RDF serializations. But I mean,
yeah, you could. The reason I'm asking is because I don't think anybody else has suggested that framing be used like that.
Okay.
Guess I'm wondering where that's coming from. Like, why would you want to translate one JSON-LD document into another JSON-LD document unless you want your developer to be able to use both JSON-LD documents and the way that you access the data is different from one document to the next? The other use for framing is like if you're getting input data in and you want to frame it in the way that your internal program uses it, that's also a way that you could do it. So if you told your developers, it doesn't matter what, you know, as long as effectively the RDF data is in there, the frame will figure out how to reposition the data such that we don't have to write really complicated code in Drupal to access these fields. So your accessor, you know, regardless of how they format their JSON-LD, the accessor, the way that you access the data in Drupal is always going to be field name .en.value
right.
Or something like that.
Right. I was thinking that framing would be, when I mentioned that, it would be more for people who are outside the Drupal community. Like we would set up something that would, because, you know, using blank notes for literals and also the language version handling wouldn't translate to the RDF serial, other RDF formats.
Mm-hmm.
I was, because internally within the Drupal community, we just don't have the understanding of RDF
mm-hmm.
for anyone to even be really using it internally.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's not an issue that we need to worry about, I don't think. But I'm thinking if there are RDF consumers that want to consume this data and consume it in a more standard pattern,
mm-hmm.
so like less of a Drupal-specific way of structuring the data, then maybe we would provide a frame that could be applied by those consumers to structure it in a more familiar way.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying. I, in my mind, it's hard for me to think of what that frame would look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand your intent. I don't know if framing... So two things. I don't know if framing could actually solve that problem, and I don't know if the RDF developers would have a hard time just consuming the Drupal data as is. Like, for example, if they want to shove it all into a triple store, they would just do, you know, the JSON-LD dot to RDF and then convert it to, like, Turtle and then suck it into their triple store. And after that, you know, it's just... They can just do Spark
right,
and
yeah.
on it or whatever.
I was thinking it's just that it's a very specific way of structuring the data. For one thing, the blank using blank notes instead of just plain literals.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that, you know, the language version you wouldn't actually have access to. They'd have to basically write their own way of pulling the DC language information and creating some kind of name graph or some other kind of structure in order to separate out those language versions.
Okay.
Or the resources, because that wouldn't get applied in the normalization.
Right. Okay. So we should probably table this discussion for a little while later, because I think we could spend a lot of time on this discussion, and I think it's an important... It's something that's important that we should discuss, but possibly not today, right?
Yeah, we actually probably don't even, you know, it's not a high priority for us in the community because
right.
we actually don't see too much use of RDF, so,
okay.
you know,
okay.
of other RDF formats.
Okay. So. Okay, all right, so that sounds good. So going back to the original fieldname.en.value approach.
Could I just a quick remark on the
sure.
the case of the shape of data? I think that going forward, I agree also that framing cannot solve this because any JSON-LD always expresses one shape. There is an isomorphism between the JSON-LD and any kind of RDF because they express triples directly with no intermediate interpretation. So
mm-hmm.
you would always have the same triples out. And if literals are used, aren't used, and B-nodes are used with Dublin Core language, then RDF consumers will either use Sparkle Construct to cope with it or complain that the Drupal RDF is strange.
Mm-hmm.
I think those right. are the two situations that might occur when people funnel Drupal data into triple stores.
Right.
Right,
yeah.
So maybe it would make sense to do a standard Sparkle Construct instead of doing framing. We would provide a standard way of making it look more like other people's data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ideal case is to use traditional or expected forms of RDF. But of course, that depends on culture anyway. So.
Right, yeah.
Right.
We have a real culture issue here because we have very, very, very few people that actually understand linked data in the community,
mm-hmm.
and that's actually posed a huge one for Drupal 7. It's really put a burden on the people who understand RDF.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so.
In general, I think that
your
cases illustrate real-world data applied, and anything that is hard to express as RDF is a critique to RDF usage. You can express things the way you do, which this case of using JSON-LD illustrates very well, because you can use, instead of literals, use B nodes to form structured literals. That's the way we've seen with SCSS XL, for instance. And there are other scenarios in the world where the direct use of language literals in RDF aren't applicable to the actual data being produced. So I think that it's good to see that we can use JSON-LD as an intermediate here to express the actual richness of the Drupal data very succinctly and see how that RDF looks like for no extra
mm-hmm.
cost.
So One thing that I keep coming back to with this, at least in my mind, with Lynn's example of the way that this data is shaped ideally, so field name dot en and then the array value dot and then the value or properties there, is that it's really you're almost doing a context modification by doing the dot en. thing, right? So you're basically saying everything underneath this .en should be, you should assume that language is set to en. So I'm wondering if there's something that we could do with the context processing that would say whenever you come across something like, whenever you come across an array of values, so en, ja, es, anything like that, what you should do is you should modify the context and set the default language, right? So that makes it that so that certain properties in this chain of dot notation, JavaScript dot notation, would be interpreted as a modification to the context. So in context, you would have, let me kind of type something out here.
Isn't that sort of like my original proposal?
Yeah.
Maybe if it is, I didn't understand your original proposal.
Well, I think we're not entirely on the same page, but it sounds similar. I'm going to see if I can find the
okay.
text.
All right, so let's say you put that in the context, So anytime that you did like foo.j.bar, the context would be modified whenever you hit that .ja, right? And it would basically say do something that would do context, language. Right, so it would end up kind of injecting this in the processor. Is that what you had proposed, Greg?
But what I had was say you set JA as a container language. Here was something from one of my comments on this issue 133, and I'd have to look at it more closely, but as I recall, by saying container language, basically you're doing that. You're saying that in this case, ES should be treated as a upgraded a mountain lion last night. It's screwing me up a little bit. ES should be
probing.
It should.
Right.
If you see that as a property, right? So that would is basically inject a context that sets language to ES, and then it would process everything else underneath that. So I think it sounds pretty similar to what you were just describing.
Okay. Well, good job, Greg. I'm sorry it took me so long to come around to that proposal.
I think we had two versions of that, actually. One was that if you used just container language on the, in this case, the tags property instead of DC language, but the values weren't literals, that the context with the language, with the value of the key would be injected. That was another version of it. And I think we also discussed whether just language could be a shorthand for context language. That would be an alternate way to achieve the same thing.
Wait, where are you saying that the language would be placed?
In the key.
So you do like, you do, hold on, I'm typing something else. So you do something like EN language, like that, in the context?
No, you'd do, in the context, did you use
that
container
language?
That
would say that EN is now an alias for language, and you could use
every
place that you previously used language.
But right. In the context, you would put this, but the values would be, in this case, B nodes, where either the full context language would be injected, or if that would be simpler to think about that language used anywhere was possible, just like context can be used anywhere. And if you just use language, then it's like XML lang sets the default language for the current scope.
Sorry, Nicholas, I'm being dense. I'm still not following. Where would you put at context colon at language?
I think what he's saying is that you wouldn't. What you would have is you would have a subject definition, and one of the keys of the subject definition would be language.
Yeah, like that.
And that would be a way of setting the language within in that subject definition, which would be a shorthand for creating a context that just had a language. That doesn't really, so that works if you want to use, does that work if you want to use B nodes? So you basically would have JA as a key, which would have a value which was a subject definition as a B node where you set the language. So that sort of addresses the SCOS XL case, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
that it certainly isn't mainstream RDF. But that's sort of, it's useful for what Denny wants to do, and I think Denny would probably live with that. But for Lynn, I think that we're veering too far away from a typical RDF signature.
I don't know that we need to worry too much about being typical RDF, as I was saying, I don't know when you joined, but we really actually don't, as much hype as there was around the Drupal 7 release with RDFA, we really haven't seen too much real adoption of it. As far as, you know, people actually using it for anything except for the default mappings, which they don't even know what those are. So I don't think that we need to worry too much about mainstream RDF. If we wanted to make it into something more mainstream, look more mainstream, I do think that we would provide something like a Sparkle construct or whatever to make it look more mainstream. That's what I would think.
But that's true. But Greg, what did you mean with the not typical RDF case? Because...
Well, I mean, if you want to basically have, I think one of the original ways we were going with language maps and what my example here was intended towards was a way to be able to express literals that have a language value, but within the context of an object with language keys rather than an array of literal values or expanded values. That was sort of my motivation. Now for Denny, we went further than that in being able to want to express other things under there as well, and that's where SCOS XL made more sense. But what I was trying to do was come up with a way to basically have, it was sort of the case where if you had a JSON object and the keys were only terms which had been set as container language, then it would sort of just fold in all the values basically and set the language in a context appropriate for each of those values.
But
doing that, that would then look like just regular JSON language literals.
Yes, but the shape of that data and the resulting triples would be exactly the same as if, with my example, if you could use for a term like tags and say container language, then you know that the value of tags will be an object whose keys will represent language names. And
yeah,
the result
and I think
would be folding that in, just as if you defined each key separately as a term.
Yeah, I think that's but that's exactly what I had suggested, right? I had you had tags container language. I had ES container language. And well, I see the difference is that you've elsewhere defined a list of tags that are treated that way. So you've sort of. Is that right?
No, actually, like this.
Hey, okay, so I'm completely lost at this point as to what Nicholas is proposing and what Greg's proposing. So, could we type out an example that can be applied to Lynn's Drupal case? So what I think you guys are saying, I thought what you were saying is something like field name container language that says that the next property, and are these two options that you guys are talking about that I just typed in, or do you have something, or are you talking about something else? So
yeah,
could we type out a full example with the context and Lynn's data so that we can see the two things that we're discussing?
Yeah, those are the examples. And in my case, the field name is tags, and I say container language. And when I use that, I use it to be more close to Lynn. So I should put an array here and then an ID.
Yeah, I think that what Nicholas has, it certainly is the same class of things, it just turns things around a bit. It's probably more concise because it makes clear that the keys and tags must be a language rather than having to, in my case, it was expressing each key and saying that you would treat that as a language and it's and expand the values separately.
Okay.
The question is, does that also allow for the SCSS Excel type of thing where we can express other things down there too?
Okay, hold on one second. I don't think Nicholas's example is complete. I think example.com. I'm typing something out here. Vocab hash. Is this what you meant, Nicholas, in the context?
Yeah, sorry. I missed the actual tags ID.
Okay, and then tags. And then the data is down there, so you do tags.en0. Dot value to get at that value.
Yeah, and that would be equivalent to in current JSONL the effect of. Let me see where we have this.
But of course, the array notation there is not required.
Correct, yeah, that's just for the Drupal case. I guess for Danny's case, it would just be tags.en, right?
Yeah.
Would be, let me see. So I think that was fairly clear that the key would be used as the value of the language for a local context, just as in Greg's example.
Yeah.
And what I suggested, which might have conflated things a bit too early, was that perhaps it would be possible to use just language as a shorthand for context, only setting the language. That's a change to JSON-LD, and the only reason I propose it here is because it would make it easier to read the tags declaration where you say container language, because it might be harder to follow if language is only allowed to be used within the context or within a literal. It would be a bit more tricky to say, well, where does the language appear then? But it's not necessary.
Okay, so you're in this proposal, you're saying that no, actually, I don't follow, because the way I read that as, well, tags are all English. You should whenever you use tags, you should set the language to English, and that's the only thing that you can. That's data. It's not the not in
no,
the
it's the data. Yeah.
Okay.
Use.
But that, yeah. But then, how is you can't access it doing tags.en in that case, right?
No. This is not for the container shorthand at all. It's just that it might be easier to understand the container mechanism if language was allowed to be used anywhere, just as XML lang or something like that.
Right.
But that's I'm confusing you by throwing this into the mix. Sorry.
Sure. Let's discuss that separately.
Yeah.
Just because I agree with you that it might make it easier, but maybe we should push back on that feature because we don't have a use case that absolutely needs it right now.
No. The reason that we talked about it many months ago, and then it appeared in my head because if we already had it, it would be easier to understand container language working like this.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I'm in my own frame of mind.
Okay. So from what I understand, we have one proposal on the table here. Greg, do you have a preference one way or the other? Do you agree that what Nicholas has proposed here specifically? That in the context you can specify container language for a tag. I'm trying to find the exact I'm trying to find the exact phrase here. Where it says EU container language.
Well, that's the original Portland issue anyway.
Okay, so just to make sure, Marcus, is this the proposal we're talking about? So tags and the ID and then container language?
Yeah, I would say so.
And then the way you access this form of data is tags.language.value,
whatever.
Let's see, tags dot. It's not specific. It's not necessarily any. It's not necessarily dot value. It's like any property.
All that
is shorthand to set the language in the context.
You know, that's exactly what I wanted to see.
Okay.
And the effect is, sorry.
Sorry, Marcus. Go ahead.
The effect is that the language is injected as if it would have been set in a local context, right?
Correct.
That, yeah.
Okay. Lynn, is this a solution that would work for Drupal, do you think?
So let's see. What you've done here is just changed the way that the container's set in the context, right?
It changes the way that the JSON-LD processor interprets the nesting. So, for example, in the data, the example that I just typed out there, you would put the tags declaration in the context. So what that says is there's going to be a keyword in here called tags. The property should map to example.com/vocab/tags. So that's the property. And then whenever you see that, anything inside, anything that's a child of the tags property, so for example, .en, you should interpret that as a language, right? Basically modify the context and switch the language to whatever tags dot the language is. So anything after that point will be, you know, that in that language. And so if you do dot value or dot formatted value or foo, any of those properties are going to have the English language type attached to the literal.
Right, and you would still be able to access resources as well this way, right?
Correct, yeah. So you have an array of items. Yeah, every single item in that array gets the English tag attached to literals, all literals in there. And it allows you to access it using your tags.en array ID dot value notation that you wanted.
That's fine. So it looks like the only difference between Nicholas L, you know, the one that we were talking about before, is the way that you set the container in the context as far as what we already discussed before it came on, right? That's the only change that I'm seeing.
I believe so. So the trick here is what we're trying to do is not complicate the JSON-LD processing steps, and I think the innovation here that Greg proposed a long time ago, or maybe even Nicholas, sorry, I get confused as to who said what about what, but is that you're basically giving a hint to the JSON-LD processor that whenever it hits a property, it should modify the context. And that, from a processing standpoint, it's easier to do that than it is to do some of the other proposals we've done. So basically what we're saying is this is a shorthand for flipping the language on literals. Nicholas, you're on the queue, and then Marcus.
Yeah, the upside of this is that we don't have to consider using any property as the value of container in a context term declaration. And that's good, although I sort of wanted it, but it's good because any property would mean that we'd have to find a way to match on literals regardless of data type and stuff like that, which might complicate things. Language is always a string, and that's good. The downside of all of the proposals, partly even the plain literal, but certainly any kind of matching on language, is that you probably cannot use this for simple compaction algorithms, because you would say then that for this, for tags, you would have to partition the resources it links to on which languages they use for their properties, if any, and if only one kind of language, because otherwise you can't deterministically do that. So this is another example of what we've already touched upon regarding that we might want to make parsing and understanding of context more advanced than the compaction algorithm is capable of handling automatically.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a little concerned, and I don't know if I understood correctly. So you're saying when you compact, it would then combine all of the properties. If you have an ID, you know, resource that you're pointing to in this field value, it would combine all of that into one array?
No, it wouldn't combine them, but it would be hard for a processor doing compaction to create the language map object of the tags term, because tags point to, in the example, two resources. And in the example, they have a title in German and a title in English. And I'm not sure about how we would specify the compaction algorithm so that it matches on the language for the properties. It might be possible to do, but at this time, I don't think anyone's entirely sure that it can be done in a general manner.
Well, I think, as you know, my feeling is that compaction is already far too complex, and that we really need to try to simplify it and perhaps consider a lot of the things that we currently do in compaction as being done when we have the an additional flag that requires a sort of a better processor-specific best effort, that we might want to do something like that. I think there it is interesting to consider ways to automatically apply some transformations such as this, but trying to do it simply by scanning the context and doing a sophisticated match against the pattern of the data is it's already too complicated.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a fun challenge.
Hold on. One second, guys. Marcus is on the queue.
Sorry.
No problem. Go ahead.
No problem. The thing is, or that's a question for Lynn actually. If you are going to support that language map stuff, you would still have the problem with your references. Like, you have text, but they are not really just language tag literals. You have references to terms which then are translated. So, for example, you have different terms for the German version and the English version, or you even have different authors for the German and the English version.
Right.
So I don't really see how this proposal here would solve that. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if I've communicated it clearly, and maybe I'm off base on this. What I was trying to say was that it's okay if you can access it within the JSON LD, but not in other RDF serializations. So as far as I can tell, this would actually give us what we need in JSON LD, as long as the extraction and compaction work, and I honestly don't know those algorithms well enough to understand the complexities there. But if we can say, you know, object.fieldname.language, and then get an array of nodes, that's fine. You're not an array of, you know, an array of blank nodes or resources.
Yeah, but the problem is, sorry. The problem is as soon as you expand or compact or frame or do whatever, like if you call any of the API methods, you would lose that information.
Not necessarily lose it. You'd lose the form. You'd lose that form. But that might not be an issue for the Drupal folks.
The form,
all they're doing is generating.
The form is the only way to access that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you would lose the association of the text for the English version and the association of the text for the German version. You couldn't distinguish them anymore.
That's the problem that I was trying to set out, because when I played around with the expanded version from Nick's last example, it looked like when I went back and forth between compaction and expansion, that shape was maintained. Shape was maintained between compaction and expansion, then that would be helpful. You know, in Nicholas's last proposal, he also had the DC language. That was a part of the node when you expanded it. And that would actually make it so that we could, I would assume, use framing just by relying on that DC language. But that is important for us, is the fact that within JSON LD, we would be able to maintain the shape between expansion and compaction.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
I think
so that's,
we're now going towards losing that.
Yeah, so this is another conversation that we've been having over the past couple of weeks, Lynn, is that trying to keep orthogonality between compaction and expansion is becoming very, very, very difficult to do. And that's because when you go to compact stuff, you have to actually analyze the data pretty deeply to understand what the best form for something is. And it's making it so that the compaction algorithm is just horribly, horribly complex. And if we added, for every feature that we add, it makes the compaction algorithm almost get complicated at a geometric pace. So we've hit the point now where that geometric pace is like it's really, really difficult to talk about new features, because the amount of code that the compaction algorithm has to run to give you a round trippable representation between expansion and compaction, it's becoming really difficult. So what I'm asserting is that the assertion that I'm making is that I don't think that the Drupal use case needs to have round tripping, meaning that the data that you guys are generating from Drupal, so Drupal as a system is going to generate JSON-LD data and other people are going to consume it. More than likely, that consuming system is going to pull the JSON-LD data indirectly. They won't need to compact. They won't need to expand. They won't need to frame. They'll just get a JSON object and then work with that JSON-LD data as is. The only systems that are going to deviate from that are going to be the gigantic RDF triple stores or quad stores that want to suck in all this data into a quad store. And those folks, to work with the data, have Sparkle Construct and a variety of other mechanisms. So I'm not convinced that round-tripping from JSON-LD compaction to expansion back to compact form is a strong requirement, but I may not be understanding one of the Drupal requirements. Do you feel like the round tripping is a really strong requirement, or do you think that most people are going to end up consuming the Drupal data kind of as is, as it's generated?
Well, so we would be doing it in compact form, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We are publishing. then if people want to merge from two sites that use different terms, what's the easiest way to do that? I mean, I would think that expansion would be actually helpful there, because then you have your full URI.
In fact, more than that, you probably want to flatten, since if you simply expand, you can be left with a case where you have two subject definitions with the same ID. And if you really want to combine that, you want to merge those into a single JSON ID. There is a compact algorithm, which is sort of part of flattening, which is intended to do that.
Yeah, so you could do it by flattening and then maybe framing after that.
You might frame, but you might also just apply some. I mean, yeah. You have a specific type of signature that you want your JSON-LD to look like, then perhaps you just have to have your own algorithm to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think compaction should be used basically for turning URIs into keys and taking expanded values and putting them into a compact form, and perhaps list compaction. But when we get into splitting out values into multiple different terms because each term matches the same IRI but has different data types or languages or things like that, that's where we sort of get into insanity. And I think that's, in your case here, in any case that perhaps wants to use this language map feature, might be better off to sort of apply that in a custom processing step.
Yeah, so I guess the answer then, we're trying to make this stuff, we're trying not to make the spec complicated, and as Greg said, this is we're ensuring that we can, do compact, expand, round-tripping, takes us firmly down the path of making the spec too complicated. So maybe what Drupal would end up having is, a bit of JavaScript or PHP code that would do the merge in the way that in the way that makes sense to the Drupal community, rather than us trying to figure out the correct way to do this for absolutely everyone that would want to merge, language information like that.
That makes sense to me. I do wonder at that point, just so I can make the argument to the community, what does using JSON-LD buy us? Because we can't, at this point we're talking about not being able to use the generalized, tools. What does using it buy us?
You can use the generalized tool. You just can't use it for everything. But I think the main thing that it buys you is what's intended to is a way to unambiguously express your information so that the properties and values all are distinct. So when you say name, then you actually know what name means. And then furthermore, it allows you to get to a common RDF representation. It also allows you to do transformations to other forms of JSON. The JITs might not include that particular signature. So if you were to say, I think it might be very common that someone working with it would want to actually select one language out of all of those that were available in your data set to work with, then I think that sort of, now you don't have this burden of having to use language maps. So from an API perspective, that becomes pretty convenient.
I guess the other thing that JSON-LD gives you is it gives you the ability to know that you can merge the data without there being conflicts, right? So not only can you be specific about each property, the ability to know that you've got two completely different Drupal sites, and when you merge the data, you're not going to have a mess on your hands. That's, I think, a pretty positive thing. Sorry, Nicholas, you've been on the queue for a while.
Yeah. It was just a note in general about the possibility of, given that we're finding compaction at odds with the amounts of features we're looking at, we've discussed expressing those elsewhere, and it struck me that most of them, actually probably all of them, the language mapping and the container ID and the container any property and even more advanced ways of using mappings in containers could be expressed at some point in the framing spec, which won't go to rec along with the syntax and the API. And the way to work with that could be that we ensure that container, when used with anything other than set and list, will be probed at as if it was some kind of mapping, and we don't know what kind of mapping. And then, so it would be a one-step probing. That would make the consumption very simple, and the actual key would be opaque, because you wouldn't know the meaning unless you understood the advanced declaration in container, which might be some kind of framing matching expression other than language. It might be container and then matches DC title has language EN, for instance. That would make it possible to express the specific reasons for using tags DE and tags EN in the Drupal case. And therefore, an algorithm in framing wouldn't have to make heuristic assumptions about how to match. It would know the formula, but that kind of formula would only be annotational in the JSON-LD syntax core spec.
I think I followed. Marcus, you're also in the queue.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the same problem. You really can't merge the data anymore because you can't even expand it. Like if you have, in Drupal, I think you have, for example, such a thing here. You have two tags applied to the English version and two to the German version. And if you expand that, you don't know which one is applied to which one. And so, I mean, it's pretty useless if you can't even expand, because then you can't, well, you can't do anything. You can't even flatten.
So there is an algorithm to figure out where those exist, but it's very complicated. You have to do deep probing on the object. You have to,
No, because if you just have like an ID there, you don't have a language tag literally. You will lose that language information.
Do you mean in my proposal or currently in my latest? Because in my latest version, you would actually have to add the language information, because that would the tags object with the keys, those would be meaningless, and you would have to repeat the D, E, and E and information in the title or in Dublin Core language or wherever you got it from.
Yeah, the same applies if we just inject it as context. So the proposal we had before, yeah. If you would inject like DC language or something, then you would maintain that information, but otherwise we just lose it.
Yeah, exactly. You have to inject it. So either, I mean, expansion would have to understand that. And in order to make it simpler, if you say expansion does not understand that, so if you want to express the information, you have to express it within the object. This might be a bit of repeating information, although quite little. And the upside is that we no longer distort the data as I originally discuss, i.e. that you can pass the object to something processing it and it would have all the data within the object.
Yeah, but then we have again to kind of have that, how did we call it, deep inspection stuff?
Yeah.
Where we don't drop the EN.
Exactly. This goes back to the probing mechanism.
Yeah.
But it connects it to the container. so that if you have a complex expression in container, that means this has been created as a key through some kind of framing algorithm, you have to probe this object. That would be the meaning of a container with a value other than set or list.
So this would be, if I'm understanding correctly, this would be the expanded form. That this is the expanded form that we would need to be able to do a round trip between compact and expanded form.
Yeah, or in this case you wouldn't even have to use the context, because in the actual example
one thing at a time. Let's say that at language you can't just do that. Let's keep the current syntax as is. That's what we do.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have the context in expanded form.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but you'd have to.
And that's the whole problem.
Yeah, so we'd have to have a language DN as a shorthand for setting the context. Okay, but that gives us a round trippable solution, right? Granted, the algorithm is very, very complicated, but it does give us a round-trippable solution.
Yeah, but
Okay, so now the question is whether or not we actually want to implement that really complicated round-trippable solution. But that, I think we can push that off to another discussion. Let's try and get some resolution on this. So, does everyone agree that we... a resolution on a solution that is going to address the Drupal use case and the Wikidata use case. I think we have that proposal, a proposal on the table, right, that everyone more or less agrees on. And that is that we modify the context object so that it can, I'm getting a lot of echo back from someone making it hard to speak. Let's see. I'm looking for the... So we would basically add... Is the proposal to add container language? So the proposal... So what Marcus just typed in there, the proposal is to add... No, that's not the proposal. The proposal is to do something. I'm going to have to type this back out. So id example.com lang tags, and then language or container language. So the proposal is to add the following ability to the context. Whenever you have a term, you can specify not only the ID, but what the format of the data is going to be. So if you say container language, every child of the tags property is going to modify the language in the active context. So if you have tags.en, it's going to set the active context language to en. The end. That's the end of the proposal. Is that what everyone believes is the right path forward? Does anyone disagree with this being the proposal?
Well, I mean, I think
this was...
Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
I think there's a little bit more, right? So it additionally... the value of that term must be an object, and every key within that object is interpreted as a language, so it has to follow BCP 47.
That's correct. Yes. Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, we already decided a month ago that we are going to support language maps. But we need to figure out how it should work, because if we just inject a new default language via context, we lose it, as we just saw with that article example.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is that's a separate discussion, and we've talked through a potential solution for that, which is introducing at language and then introducing the ability to use at language outside of a context. And if we do that in expanded form, we have a solution for round-tripping between compaction and expansion. But I think that that is a separate issue that we can discuss. So that issue has to do with the round-trippability of this feature. It doesn't have to do with the feature itself, meaning that the feature itself would address most of what Lynn is asking for. The round-trippability is something that we should also discuss to make sure that Lynn has a complete solution for Drupal, so that they don't have to implement any extra tooling to be able to use the language maps in the way that they want to. That makes sense, Marcus?
Yeah, but I think we already decided that.
I don't believe we did. Okay, I don't believe we did. I think this is...
Okay.
I think we agreed to support language maps. I don't think we agreed on the exact way that it works, if that makes sense.
Right. That's my understanding.
That's what I would like to discuss now, how the exact way how it works is.
So so what was missing from what both Greg and I proposed? Or what both Greg and I said. So we're saying that the way that you create a language map is using that markup that I just put in there at 11.20. And then the addition to that is that any child of tags must be an associative array, and all of the keys in the associative array must follow BCP47 language tag format.
Okay, yeah. And what happens then during expansion?
That is a separate conversation.
Yeah, okay. When do we have that conversation?
We could have it right after this one.
Yeah, okay, then let's resolve this one.
Okay. All right, so add support for language maps via the container language annotation in context. For example, this is going to be a long resolution. The child property of the term must be an associative array, all associative array keys must be BCP47 language strings. Okay. Is that the proposal? And Lynn, feel free to plus one, minus one. That none of this is an official vote or binding. It just shows whether or not we agree or not on the proposal.
Okay. I feel like I'm not quite sure until I see the compaction and expansion, because you know, for me, I think that I don't have enough knowledge of how those work to be able to predict how this impacts then translates into something I can use.
Okay. I mean, and then you can just do a plus zero or you can abstain. Either way. I think the markup that you wanted can be expressed just with this syntax, but But I do also understand that you don't want to say, yes, this is going to work for us until we can show that round tripping works, or until we have a resolution on round tripping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other opinions on this, Dave Lane? All right. I'm going to go ahead and resolve this.
It would be good to consider also the various usages expected from Drupal users when they use this data, so that we can determine whether the JSON-LD API will be of an impact to this usage, or if the primary use will be just as JSON, and that the notion of using JSON-LD is more for the RDF usage, or the possibilities of merging data in a more general scenario.
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question. Lynn, I don't know if you're expecting most of the Drupal developers to use the JSON-LD API or not. I'm guessing, because you're saying they're going to be merging data, that the assumption here is that it would be nice if they could merge the data using the JSON-LD API.
I don't expect that that's the primary use case. The primary use case, we probably would not need to use the API.
Yeah. And I think that what I'd certainly propose is that you don't depend on the JSON-LD API, if at all possible, in the general use case. Just because, you know, if you have to use the JSON-LD API, that means that there's an extra requirement for the people that are consuming this data, and there's a large segment that you end up kind of leaving out in the cold when you do that.
Right.
So basically, if there isn't a JSON-LD API implementation in whatever language they're using, then, you know, too bad. And that's not usually a good thing. So I mean, you know, there are JSON implementations for tons and tons of languages. The same is definitely not true for the JSON-LD API.
Right.
So given you know, being able to hand over a 20-line code snippet that merges data, JSON data, Drupal JSON data specifically, versus needing a JSON-LD full implementation of the JSON-LD API, I'd certainly think that you guys would want to lean towards just giving people a code snippet that they can use in PHP or
in merges data. Are you talking about merges data from different sites?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
JSON. I would think that you would need to do extension to merge data from different sites, unless it's fully expanded already.
Well, if you, not necessarily. I mean, you could think of it as, you know that, let's just make a couple of assumptions here. So the assumption is that Drupal, the way Drupal publishes its JSON-LD data, is in a very regular form. Like, it's compact form, and you kind of know where all the fields are based on what you're accessing. And so the form is pretty regular.
We're running into a problem. You know, people might name something that's really the same thing. Like, one person might name it field first name, and another might name it field FN. And besides, I think in canonical URIs, we have no way of knowing that these two things are really meant to be the same term. So that's when merging from two different sites that are using different naming structures and data models for their data, that's when we would need to do expansion. I don't think that is our big case right now. I'm not sure it ever will be. But I think that that's one of the reasons why JSON-LD was chosen is because it does give us that possibility if we want it.
Okay.
I think that's a good general force behind choosing JSON-LD. I do think also that once you get into the scenarios where you need to merge data, you will probably merge data in a way so that you will need to understand graphs and RDF in general. And if you use those tools, none of the round-tripping issues we've discussed will matter, because then you will use the RDF level of the data when merged.
Well, I don't know. So what you're saying is that you wouldn't be working in JSON anymore. You would normalize it out to like N quads and be working with that instead of working with JSON when you're merging?
Well, no, once merged, I would pick any tool I would want to, given what I want to do with the data. If I just want to merge data and send it to a template, I would use my own custom context, possibly, and create JSON to send to a template, or not. I might do programmatic RDF API access. It really depends.
I guess what Lynn's saying is that it would be really nice if there were a tool in the JSON-LD API that doesn't require you to write all of that code, right? So I mean, we do convert to RDF internally in the JSON-LD API when we're doing certain things, like, for example, when we do normalization, everything's converted into a quad, right? And that's how we do normalization. So you could imagine that there is another merge mechanism that would basically flatten all of the data and you know merge the data and then give you some kind of compact representation afterwards, or even just a flattened representation afterwards. A flattened representation is easier than a compact representation.
If it were flattened, and then we could use the API on top of it, something like the objective proposal, or I still feel worried about framing for the general Drupal mm-hmm. public, but mm-hmm. you know, if we could do something like that, I think that's what really people thought we're going to get from JSON-LD when like Larry said that we should go this way. A lot of mm-hmm. the people that were involved making that decision hadn't necessarily, they don't have as much experience with linked data, and I don't think that they understood what level the API is right now and what they could do with it or not.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I think that all of those, I mean, framing and the Graphify and even extending framing with the notions of advanced container mappings are all on the table, but not for the RDF or the RDF working group's mission to make an 1.0 of the syntax and the core API. But both the framing and the other advanced things will be more of a community effort.
Yeah, and the reason for that is we're still, you know, I mean, all of this, it's still a new way of working with this data, so we're not, until someone like the Drupal community uses the API and says, yes, this is totally working for us, it's exactly what we needed, we are very hesitant to put a spec stamp on it to say that it's done. So you would end up seeing implementations far before the thing reached rec. So I don't think that should be a reason to not, you know, use JSON-LD, that the API is not going to be rec before the implementations for it are done. We're just being, you know, careful with things like framing, because it really is a new way of kind of working with data. So we want to make sure that we get it right and it actually works out there in the real world versus standardizing on something that doesn't work for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that framing will be a living spec for some time.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean the same thing with the Graphify and
The nice thing about Graphify is in a given context it can be very easy to implement. I have an example out there, just a couple of lines of code. So, you know, it's more useful perhaps as a concept than as a embodied standard with specific test cases.
Yeah, I'm
not
even sure
how to test it actually.
I've experimented the last week, continued to tinker with my RDFA lab stuff and done quite fun stuff. But I also realized that this will certainly be on the experimental stage for some time, because there are many different ways of thinking what an understandable usage pattern is in this case.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is important, and which what we are aiming to support now, is to ensure that this here edit goal is fulfilled for Drupal, so that they can publish JSON LD in a shape that is extremely usable as just JSON for their consumers, and ensure that can go into the syntax 1.0, so that that's stamped, and then we have to ensure that it's workable in the more advanced IDs we have as well. But the primary focus should probably be on not introducing advanced features, but introducing the general shape needed for these advanced features to be possible to expand, at least.
Right. And I think that's what we resolved today, is that, you know, if we use this syntax, then we have, you know, the option for all of these advanced features like round tripping or we have, you know, a possible way of doing round tripping and things of that nature. So Lynn, I think that with the syntax that we have today, we can achieve what you wanted to with the way that Drupal developers would access this data, just as JSON, right? We are still, the jury's still out on how we make this work when you need to merge data together, whether or not the Drupal community would need to write a merge algorithm and give that to developers, or if the merge algorithm can be implemented in the core JSON-LD API. So I think we do have a solution for how it could be implemented in the core JSON-LD API. The only remaining question is whether we want to add the complexity to the spec or not. And that's, you know, that's always kind of a continuing discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we're out of time for today. Thank you very much, Lynn, for taking the time and explaining kind of everything that... Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, just before we take off, I'd send you an email based upon some discussion from the RDF working group last week. And one of them was from Hus wanting to be sure that we... made sure that all JSON-LD issues are reflected in the W3C tracker.
I think Hus wasn't at the telecon where we decided that it's fine to have the issues just tracked in the GitHub tracker. So I need to, thanks for pointing it out, I need to follow up with Hus and make sure that he knows that we decided that in the RDF working group. David Wood was chairing the call, and Hus wasn't there that day.
Right. I think we had. I do recall we discussed perhaps some better use of the Git API in order to do these types of things. I think it would be really good to, not necessarily to have a one-to-one reflection with the tracker, but to get everything that happens on there reflected on, say, RDF comments. It's a lofty goal, given someone with the time to do it.
Yeah. Let me put this in the minutes just to make sure that Hus can see this.
Can't we just create a user and forward the emails to the RDF comments?
I think the thing is, for me to get all the information on an issue, I have to either comment on the issue or click the link at the bottom that has me follow it. So I don't think you can entirely do it simply with a mail user. There needs to be some form of something that actually works with the API. I think I could do that. All of this information is exposed to the API now.
Yeah, but at least every new issue would get reported automatically then.
Yes, right. And I think simply adding, like, RDF comments as a member would probably do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that that's really the right way to do it, but I think it might work.
Yeah, whatever solution we come up with, we're going to have an offline discussion with Hus and David to make sure that it
meets the requirements that they need. I mean, I thought the understanding that we had is it's going to take a lot of time. Someone has to sit down and write the code to do it. And there is no requirement in W3C process that we need to track issues that closely before last call. So let's not do it. It's in an issue tracker. We can export the issue tracker to W3C at any point if we decide that we need to do it per W3C process. But before last call, there's no requirement that we need to do it.
The way I understood it last week was that they simply want to be aware of more or less what's going on, so they are even fine if we are just forwarding some emails to RDF comments, for example.
Yeah, right. And I think what we ended up agreeing to was anytime we send the minutes for each one of these telecons, and anytime that an editor changes a spec, all of the spec changes over the last week are recorded in an email, and we send that to the RDF working group, and that's all we need to do to make sure that everyone understands, you know, where things are with the specs. So I think Hoos wasn't aware that we had this discussion. Okay. Anything else before we go? All right, and thanks again, Lynn, for your time and telling us about the Drupal use case. It was very, very helpful to get some clarity on how we could implement something that would hopefully work for the Drupal community.
Thank you for taking the time to think about it. I really appreciate you guys spending this call talking about it.
No problem. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll have another telecon, 90-minute telecon, next week. Lynn, you're, of course, welcome to join if you're interested. See all of you next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.